We've been, our text, okay, this is the question. Some of you didn't get it last week. Our text has been what book in the Bible? Every week we do this. Hebrews, yes, okay. Last week I was like, coffee, need coffee. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we've been talking about grace for the race. So this is my last Sunday with my sneakers. Grace, I've got grace for the race. That means next week I have to go digging through my closet to find something that matches. This is great. Sneakers, you just pull them out every Sunday. Who cares if they match or not? So I was like, oh, Lord, okay. All righty, so grace for the race. And we've been talking about how God has grace for us. This amazing Father God has something for us. It's called grace. And grace, we talked about scandalous grace. That was my, I was kind of mulling over, what was my favorite week? So I started with the first week, and I thought, oh, that was good. Then I went to the next, I just had a blast doing this. I just had a blast, because it caused me to dig and study and things that I just kind of forgot. So as people say, I preached myself happy. But week one, we talked about scandalous grace, and scandalous grace was God had grace for you. You didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve this. You can't earn it. And yet he gave it to us. And that first week we talked about a bunch of ladies in the Bible. Whoa, they were bad. And God's grace brought them out of that situation. And that's what God's grace does for us. All right, we have scandalous grace. All righty. And we're also talking about that we're all in a race. You're all in the race. You're all in the race. You're all in the race with me. And God will give you grace to get through it. He'll give you sneakers to get through it. Right? All righty. So last week we talked about how grace, the grace that God has for us that we can take hold of, will help you over obstacles. Will help you over obstacles. And Selena, where was she? Could she go downstairs? Actually, I talked a little bit last week. Benny and Selena not only had a obstacle in the last couple weeks, you probably could have said they had 50 obstacles. And you're like, you just want to lay down. Oh my gosh. But God's grace helped them through this one, and the next one, and the next one, and they got a refrigerator on top of it. Praise the Lord, all right? So we're talking about God has grace to help you through your life. The obstacles, all righty? Now, let's read for our last time, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You ready? This is the New Living. Ta-da! All righty. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily strips us up, trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. That word endurance, a lot of times you'll see with patience and persistence. Oh, dang it. I've got to do it with patience. Yes. Okay, yes. Where's Mark Fry? Mark, we were talking about a book in the bookstore that said faith and patience, and I just broke out laughing. I said, some of us, we can spout off all the faith, but we get to that next word and we're like, oh, dang it. Okay. So we're supposed to run this race with faith. Faith to patience and all that good stuff. Okay. I'm just doing a little review. All right. So we said, and anybody who's been in church for a decade or more, you've heard the definition for grace is God's unmerited favor, right? Unmerited favor. And that tells me that grace was free. It was free. That was that scandalous grace. It was free. But the problem, if you just stop there, it doesn't tell me what grace does. Grace does some stuff. And grace, and we've been going, you should just be like, oh, Pastor D, I've got it memorized. I got it in my heart. I know. Because grace, what it does is it empowers you to do the things you not normally could do. Grace empowers you. That's what it does. It empowers you to do things that you not normally could do. Such as All right. I've had this happen just recently. I'm just going to pick on, this is what happens when Pastor D asks you to sit on the front row. I get to pick on you. And then they'll go, well, I'm not going to do it again. Yes, you will. Because Pastor D said so. All right. So I'm looking at Tom and Martha and I look at them and I go, wow, I can't believe the stuff they're going through. I don't know if I could do what they're doing. Do you have people, and you're watching their life, and they've got obstacle, 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 and you're going, man, I don't know if I could do it. Well, you can't, because you don't have the eyes of grace to go through what they're going through. Mm-hmm. But, but God has graced them. Because they called on, they went into the throne of grace. Oh, that was my other favorite sermon. I was like, what was my favorite sermon? The one on throne of grace. But Tom and Martha prayed together, went into the throne of grace, and God gave them grace to get through it. You're not going to get through it. But they are going to get through it because the grace that they tapped into, okay? So I'll tell you, a lot of times I go, holy Toledo, man, it's a mess. I don't know how they're doing it. But man, they're doing it with a smile. Okay, so how are they doing it? Grace, right, grace. Okay, so I don't know how they're doing it, but they're doing it with grace. So we're going to close our series. I'm going to put my sneakers away. God, they're so comfortable, all right? But there's a couple of things that I didn't get to. Really, I could have gone 7 weeks, but I think I was getting bored. You might get bored, so we're going to close it up today. We're going to close it up today. But there's three things we're going to do. Two, I have to lay a foundation so we can get to the part I really want to get to. All right. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, I'm not going to read it to you. And Zechariah, I got to write it down. Zechariah 12, 10. Don't open your Bibles. Okay, just follow along. Those two scriptures talk about the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. It's called the Spirit of Grace. Write that one down. That's what you write down. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Grace. The Spirit of Grace. Well, you know what that means? The Holy Spirit is the one that delivers to you the grace that God has. Okay, we'll say that again. The Holy Spirit is the one who delivers everything. He delivers everything for you that's in grace. Now, I have a UPS man. He's mine. His name is Brian. He's been coming and delivering he's my UPS man. He's been delivering packages to YCF since the day we moved into this building. Yep. Okay. Now, I love Brian, and he's retiring. I about had a splat on the floor. Now, let me tell you about Brian. Brian and I have a relationship. Don't go there with your head, let me tell you, all right? We have a relationship. Actually, he knows about my family. We talk. I know about his wife. I know about his son, who has got this amazing scholarship to one of those big colleges to play football. Of course, if you saw Brian, you'd go, yeah, I bet you he's got big guys to play football. So I know about Brian. We have a relationship. We have a relationship so much that Brian knows Monday I'm not here. And my relationship with Brian is he'll take my package, if it comes on Monday, down to Joan's house. Joan lives 3 blocks down. That's relationship, okay? All right, now what's it have to do with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is given, and you need him, all right? You need the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit. You ought to have a relationship with him because he's the one who delivers what grace has for you. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, come and talk to me. You need to get it. I'll give it to you, okay? You could ask. All right, anyway, Holy Spirit. All right, everybody say, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. The Holy Spirit is, man, you know, really, you should be so thankful for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace. Because when you come into a service, he's the one that's going to deliver good news to you through the word. He's the one, the Spirit of grace, that's going to deliver things to you. Ah, I love the Holy Spirit. I got a relationship with him. All right. If I'm going to throw a quote, a golden nugget at you, just write it down. You can just chew on it the rest of the week. So the rest of the week, you're going to have little posties on your mirror, because I got about five of them we're going to do. Here, number one, put this down. Grace is not about achieving. And we sang the song. Miss Kathy, we sang that in one of our songs. I was going to go home today. Every one of those songs was my message today. I thought, shoo, I'm going. Bye. It was great. And then I was like, oh, and then Sherry preached the ending. Gosh. It just cracks me up, all right? It doesn't it crack you up when you go on and you'll watch a minister on TV that today or maybe later on in the week, and they preach Pastor D's message. How did they say it? They preach my message. Really, I'm thinking, man, I'm right on. I got the same message. Okay, so where am I? Here, say it again. Grace is not about achieving. It's about receiving. Guys, we live in an achieving society. Who can break the next score for the most home runs? Who's going to get the most sales this year? We live in a society that we achieve, right? We achieve, okay? But grace is not about that. Grace has nothing to do with, oh, you know, if I read my Bible more, achieve, then God will do. Oh, if I fast every other day, achieve, then God will do, right? If I stop cussing for a whole week, God will do. Now listen, all of those things are good. Stop cussing. Read your Bible. Try fasting, all right? But that's nothing to do with grace. As a matter of fact, that's the opposite of grace. Grace is you receiving what God has already done. You receive God's empowerment to do things. So you want to go, wow, that is great. That is great. All right, I don't have to work at it. All right, number two we can write down. Here we go. Grace is greater than your past, greater than your present, and greater than your patterns. See, I stay up at night trying to think of these cute things. I'm just like, oh, that one's a good one. Okay. And then I was like, oh, yeah, that's really good. All right. So I'm going to say it again. Grace is greater than your past, greater than your present, and greater than your pattern. Y'all have patterns. Get up in the morning, do your business, go downstairs, drink coffee, read your Bible, wake up your husband, the kids, take the dog out, right? You have patterns in your life. Everybody have patterns in your life? Okay, but what happens if you're like, Pastor D, I listen to your message every week, but I just got this pattern. I keep muffing up. I just keep doing it, all right? This is what grace is for. It is greater than your pattern. Grace will come and say, oh, Tom, here's grace. Martha's like, thank you, Jesus. He'll stop doing this. All right? Grace will empower you. It'll break. You can break your pattern. You can break your pattern if you receive grace. All right. Tell your spouse. Yeah, you're going to work on this. All right, last one, number three. Faith is moving towards God. Faith is moving towards God and receiving all of his benefits. Grace is God putting the first moves on you. I was going to tell you a story, but it's inappropriate. Putting the first moves on you, okay? God puts the first moves on you. That's grace. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to achieve it. That's grace. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my gosh. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, Pastor D, that's right. Okay, here's an example. Here's an example. Grace is God moving towards you. God moving towards you. Let's suppose the worst sinner comes to church. Eli's the worst sinner. He just sat down. Oh, dear Jesus, do you know about Eli? Okay, look at him. Okay, but grace is moving towards Eli. It doesn't care. Doesn't look at your past. Doesn't care. It takes Eli the way he is. Grace makes the first move. It's not waiting for Eli to get all cleaned up. I knew Eli when he had short hair, too. He walked in the first time. I was like, oh, my gosh. I just crack up. I love it. Do it. Okay, save money. Haircuts, right? All right. Okay, grace is God moving towards us. And all I have to do is accept it. Scandalous grace. Guys, scandalous grace came to everyone here. Everyone here, it was a scandalous grace. And it's still scandalous. It still goes. Right? Amen. So, oh, but you know, God can't love Veronica. Do you know? Not until she ships up. Now, until she gets it together. Then, you know, no, that's not grace. Grace says, Veronica, I am moving. God's grace is moving towards you. You just take it. And then God does the rest. God does the rest, right? Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. All right, today I'm going to title my message. That was just the beginning. Today, the title of the message is Great Grace. Great Grace. Write that down. All right. Open up to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. All right. Great Grace. Okay. Now there's a scripture in Acts that and I want to talk about what great grace means. It sounds like I'm saying grapes. All right. What great grace means and how it works in our lives. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about what it is and how it works in our lives. Okay. Acts chapter 4. Let me give you the background. Acts chapter 1 and 2. Jesus, oh man, he'd already died, rose again, and then he's walking around, and his disciples and a whole bunch of them, 180 of them, all are born again, and then the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking of other tongues. Okay? Now, they are pumped, psyched, turned upside down, right? All right, so here in chapter 4, I have Peter and John. They're just filled with the Holy Ghost and, you know, the Spirit of grace, and this great power is upon them to be witnesses, all right? So they're on the way to the temple. It's Sunday morning. Of course, theirs was Saturday, right? Saturday morning. Okay, they're going to the temple to pray. They're religious. No, they're amazing, right? They're going to the temple to pray, and there's also this guy that gets dumped in front of the temple every day, who is crippled from birth, right? You all remember this story? Yep, okay, so he gets dumped there, and Peter and John pray for him. He gets healed, he gets whacked, he does cartwheels, he's jumping up and down and praising God, and Peter and John said, well, we're going into the temple now, come on, and this guy's, wah! So he goes into the temple, and all of you are like, guy, and he's okay, you know, that was the guy that's dumped every day at the temple. All right, so and the place starts, oh my gosh, look at him, wah! And he's telling everybody, and you're all good, wah, getting excited. So Peter, being the smart big mouth that he is, realizes he has a congregation to preach to, take advantage of every person, and then he starts preaching. All right, so he starts preaching, and you know who's hanging out at the temple? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious bunch, okay? And they don't like it. What? They don't like someone got set free? No, they don't like it. So they toss Peter and John. By the way, this is background. They toss Peter and John in jail overnight. The next day, they have a meeting, a town meeting. Anybody who's coming to the meeting, you know, we want to see what's going on. So they have this meeting, and they just grill Peter and John. By what authority do you speak like this? And they said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then they slap him on the face. Who you crucified? And you know Peter, he just rolls it out. He just gives it the whole nine yards. And they get there, start talking, oh my gosh, what are we going to do with them? They need to shut up. So they reprimand him. They try to instill fear in Peter and John. They are like, you better never speak in that name again. So they're threatening them. They're threatening them. I think they call that persecution. Yeah. Well, they're persecuting them. All right. So they let them go, and Peter and John go back to their own company. They obviously didn't go back to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, right? They went back to their own company. Everybody say own company. That means that's the bunch. We believe the same. Probably you were up in the upper room too. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're one of us, right? Okay? That's what's going on. I'm trying so Okay. So now, Acts 4, verse 33. That's wrong chapter. Here we go. Acts 4, verse 33. So they're hanging out with their fellow believers. Acts 4, 33. I said that three times because I can't find it on my page. Here we go. Okay, here we go. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon all of them. Whoa! And great grace was upon all of them. Guys, it wasn't just on the apostles. I used to read it that way. And the Lord says, why don't you read what I wrote? And great grace was upon all of them. Why? Because we just said they, after they were threatened and persecuted, they went back to their company, their own company. And they, it says they actually, Peter and John gave a testimony. Glory to God, we got called on the carpet and they threatened us. And everybody, the whole place erupted of their own company. And they're shouting and praising and then they're praying. Okay, and that's when. So here, I'm going to read that again. And great grace was upon all of them. Great grace was upon all of them. And verse 34, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land and houses sold them and brought them the proceeds of these things, and they were sold, and they laid them at the apostles' feet, and they da-da-da-da-da. Okay, now, how would you like to have no lack in your life? You were a part of that bunch, the bunch that they went back and you had no lack in your life. I got a list a mile long. I was like, well, that is great. It literally means lacking nothing. That was no brainer, Pastor D, right? They were lacking nothing. Okay, now wouldn't that be awesome? But listen. Oh, Jural. Wouldn't that be awesome? You had no lack for harvest of blessing in the community that you're reaching. Backflip! Woo! When I get to heaven, I can do those. Wouldn't that be awesome? Because great grace was upon them. They had no lack. Pastor D, that's the disciples. No, right? That's everyone there. That's right. Their own company. All righty. Now, that word great, that's where we get the word mega. All right. So the drink that's like ridiculous, it's like feeds your whole family, the mega drink that you get when you drive through. All right. It's like, really? All right. So great grace. God is saying mega grace, mega big, huge, mega grace was upon all of them. Should be doing backflips. Okay. All right. Okay. So the same grace, the same mega grace that was on all of them is on all of us. The day you received Jesus Christ, great grace came upon you. Grace. Yeah, Pastor D. Yep. If it was on those guys in the book of Acts, it's on us. So Now, before I go off the scale and lost again here, let me give you one more scripture. So we've talked about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace. We've talked about great grace on all. All right. Turn over to John chapter 1, verse 14. John 1:14. How many of you believe Jesus had grace when he walked upon the earth? Right? All right. Anyone believe that while Jesus was walking around the planet, he had grace on him? Yep. All right. Let me read this scripture. Here we go. 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. Jesus, the Word. Jesus is the Word. He became flesh and he dwelt among us. He walked upon the earth. And we behold his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, did Jesus have a little bit of grace? Said full. Now, I love Thanksgiving. But how many of you are like me, after Thanksgiving, you are so full, you can't eat anything else? Meanwhile, I've got all my desserts displayed on that board thingamajigger table in my dining room. There's a fancy name for that. What do you call it? Serving board? Buffet, whatever. Okay, so they're sitting there, but I am so full, I can't put anything else in. All right? And I'm thinking, how many laps around the block till I can go get something else in me? Because I like those pies, all right? But I am so full, I can't get anything else in. Now wait, it says Jesus what? Jesus was full of grace and truth. All right? He was full of grace and truth. Okay, so let's put it this way. He had 100% full of grace, and he was 100% full of truth. Full. Key word. Can't eat no pie. Full. Full. All right? Full. Jesus became full of grace and truth for who? For himself? For us. He had that for us. He was full of grace and full of truth for us. Just put your hand on your belly and say, Jesus, you are full of grace and truth for me. For me. This is for me. All right. Now, church needs to learn how to do this. Church people need to learn how to do this. All right. We need to learn how to be 100% full of grace and truth. Okay. Now, how many of you were raised in the Baptist denomination? How many of you have heard a little hellfire and brimstone? Okay? You're damned. I love to swear. It's like a two words you can say in church, damn and hell. So when I was teaching kids, I was like, come on, let's say the bad words. And they go, damn, 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 hell, hell, hell. That was as bad as we got. And then we put it in context, okay? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. So they would tell you, you're going to burn in hell if you don't repent, right? Now, there is some truth in that. There is a judgment day coming. And hell is a place that if you have not received Jesus Christ, you will, all right? But I want to go, where's the grace in all of that, you guys? I have sat under some hellfire and brimstone. Okay, and it just, because where was the grace in it? All right, where was the grace? All right, so such as prostitutes and murderers come in, and you're going to say, oh, you're damned and going to hell. Well, if they don't know Jesus, there's truth. But wait a minute, where's the grace? Why don't you say here, this is the grace of God, that he would extend free forgiveness of your sins. He would accept you just the way you are, and you'd be, you know, all that stuff. Okay, I got goosebumpies here. All right? Now that is 100% grace. Amen. That is 100% grace. All right? Now, the church needs to do that. I was like, okay? Now, so that 100% grace says it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. You just need to take hold of what he's done. That's the grace, right? That's the grace. So grace is reaching out to everyone. Grace is reaching out to everyone. Grace is reaching out to everyone. So Jesus was full of grace and truth. And he came for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. Verse 16. Let's read verse 16. Verse 16. And of his fullness, what was he full of? 100% grace and 100% truth. Okay? And of his fullness, and of his fullness, and of his fullness, we have all received. What do you have in you? Yeah, baby. All right. We have all received. We have all received, and grace for grace. All right? Now, grace for grace. Praise God. Let's read verse 17 too. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. All righty. Now, the law. The law. I used to think I didn't walk in the law, and then I started catching myself, and then I realized I don't like the law. I don't like the law. All right? Sometimes we do ridiculous things. We don't even know we're doing it. All right? Such as, probably, you're all breaking the law. Matter of fact, I'm looking around at you. Today, you're breaking the law. Just looking at your clothes. Forget me with the pants and the sneakers. I'm a woman. Okay. But you all are breaking the law. Because if you go back to the Old Testament book of, I think it's Leviticus, one of those, they start telling you what your clothes had to be made of, how you had to wear them. You're all breaking the law. Yep, you're breaking the law. Okay, better yet, how many of you are going out to lunch afterwards? I'm having lunch downstairs. Okay. And you're going to order a bacon cheeseburger, a steak, medium rare, coconut shrimp, right? Okay. Under the law, those meats you were eating, you're breaking the law. The meat with blood in it, I love blood just oozing on my plate. Now, I'm not one of those that has to say moo, but I like that red, that, yeah, okay? All right, okay, you're all breaking the law. We're having ham sandwiches downstairs. We're breaking the law, all right? That's the law. Now, the good things is Jesus came to fulfill the law. Thank you, baby. So, you can have your bacon cheeseburger, your steaks rare, medium rare, and you can eat shrimp all you want. Isn't that wonderful? Because Jesus fulfilled the law for you. You don't have to do it. I tell this story all the time. A good friend of mine in high school was a Jewish girl. And actually, her parents, she was Jewish by nationality, basically. But she was not a practicing until she had a drawing for God. So she decided to go live on a kibbutz one summer. And she came back and we were hanging out. And she goes, man, it's really hard doing this stuff. Because Linda didn't live anything under the law until that point. And you're living on a kibbutz. They were, you dressed right. You couldn't eat all that stuff. So she says, man, dude, it was hard. Now, I wasn't born again back then, so I don't know what the heck she was talking about. I thought just because you had to go work in a field, that was hard. No, their law was hard, all right? The law was hard. So most of us have decided we're not going to live under that kind of stuff. We're going to go have cheeseburgers with bacon, all right? But some people, the church down the road, not us, some people decide they're still going to live under the law. What do you mean, Pastor D? Well, they're like this very religious. They become very religious, like, hey, we don't want any sinners coming in our place to our church services. We don't let any of them in. We don't let prostitutes in. We don't let ex-offenders in. They become religious back under the law. And they call that real church. That's not real. Real church is we're going to embrace you. We're going to take you in. God's grace is going to come into your life. Scandalous grace. You're going to get saved. And God's going to begin to work on your life. That's real church. And we ought to have that happen in every week. Bringing people in who need scandalous grace. All right? So, can I read that out of the Amplified? This is really good. John chapter 1, verse 16. John chapter 1, verse 16. For out of his fullness, you know, he was filled up, 100% filled up with grace and truth. We have all received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, okay? Spiritual blessings upon spiritual blessings, favor upon favor, heaped upon gift. Now, when I'm dieting, I want ice cream. Do you know that you can have half a cup, and it's under 100 calories? All right. But when you just want to bag it, I want that sugar. Not what's the big cone? That really not the little cheapy one. Waffle cone. I want the waffle cone heaped upon scoop, heaped upon scoop, heaped upon scoop. Right? All right. Grace heaped upon grace, heaped upon blessing, heaped upon blessing. How many of you want that? That's what we have. That's what we have. Verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace, unearned, undeserved favor. And then we can do the next part. And truth came through Jesus Christ. Man, all that came through Jesus. All of that came through Jesus. So I want to end with a story. It's about a lady caught in adultery. Can you imagine somebody got dragged in here today? Antonio and Anita were on the streets. They see this lady and they drag her in here and they throw her up front. What would we do today? We'd condemn her, you evil woman. I can't believe you did that. Nah, yeah, that's what some people do. What? We have adultery in the church? Yeah, baby. Unfortunately, but God's grace. Amen. Okay, John, Pastor D. Yeah, John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Okay. So, this lady was caught in the act of adultery. Y'all know what that is? Ask Ruth Cashman. She'll tell you. She's a wise old woman, and she uses these old words, you know. We would say, oh, they got caught sleeping around. And Ruth will say, no, adultery, and then we got fornicators. I was like, Ruth, they use different words. No, but, you know, so we poke fun of her. But she's right. Okay, so what did Jesus do when this happened? John chapter 8, verse 1. I'm at the wrong chapter. Where's John? Over here. Here we go. John chapter 8, verse 1. Is that right? Yep. Okay. I'm in the wrong chapter. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Oh, wait. I know. I want to read this out of the New Living. Where's my thing? Wrong one. I do this. Okay. You know, so funny. You know those iPad thingies? I'd be a disaster. So I print out the copy. I don't have to drag the Bible in, but I'm going to work on it, okay? Who is it? I was talking to one of the young kids down in the office, and he used, it was a couple weeks ago, and I was like, what is blog? He just about fell on the floor. Pastor, do you know what a blog? No. So we explained it. I said, why don't you just say the stuff you write? He goes, that's a blog. It's a blog. Then he had another new word for me, and I can't think of it right now because I said I was going to use it in a sentence. But anyway, so here I am, old school. Here we go. 8, John 8. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. Oh, he loved the temple. And a crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. Be up here teaching, right? And as he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and they put her in front of the crowd. So we got a crowd going on, and then we got the religious bunch that came in, and Jesus, and they drag in this lady, all right? And teacher, they say to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Now, have you ever wondered how they caught her? Well, what were you doing? Bunch of peeping toms? Or was it a setup? We won't know till we get to heaven. But every once in a while, my head goes down there. What was it? Okay. Okay. So, and my favorite one, where the heck's the guy? In case you didn't know, it's where's the guy? All right. So, you're not going to get your answer. I'm just tossing that out. And by the way, you can get to heaven really happy not knowing all of that. Okay. Probably better, okay? So it's really interesting. They caught her and dragged her in. Guys, that's what religious does. Religion. They try to catch you and drag you to the ground. That's people that are religious. That's religion. Okay. That's my 2 cents. Okay. Now you all understanding that they're living under the law back then. Okay, there was no grace, and Jesus starts bringing in grace. Shh, all right? They're living under the law, and Jesus brings in grace. All right? Now, I love the part where they have to remind Jesus of the law. Like, you know, do you know the law? He's the Word made flesh. He was and is and always will be. They had to remind him. Like, Jesus, do you know the law? If you break the law, you get stoned. What do you say? We just crack up when religion shows up. I mean, they really just, all right. Verse 6, here we go. They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down, wrote on the ground, right? with his finger, put his finger in the dust, and they kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again, like, oh, you guys, okay? He stood up again and he said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And then he stooped down again, right? So, you know what's really amazing? Christians who have been forgiven, like some... First, let me preface. You know what's amazing about Christians who have been forgiven this much? Crazy bad stuff, right? A few years go by. You know, they forgot that they were forgiven the big, bad, and the dirty, right? And they go on and they see this woman and they're the first one to throw stones. That's, you know, they come to church with stones in their pocket. Oh, let's see, Ron's back there. Let me throw a stone at him. You know, I'm ready. Christians. I don't think so. I don't think we're supposed to be doing that, right? Okay? So, Jesus says, all right, if you have never sinned, you can throw a stone. If you have never sinned, you can throw a stone. So he stooped back down again, verse 9. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left with the woman. Right? Now, we're still living under the law. All right? They're still living under the law. Grace hadn't come except for Jesus, all right? So she is thinking in her head, because she knows, she's still, this is all she knows, the law. She's still thinking, man, I broke the law, right? She knew the law. She was thinking, I broke the law. I'm going to get stoned. She's still living under the law. And don't you love the part where the oldest one slipped out first? Now, there's theories on this, but my today theory is, it doesn't matter if you're 90 years old or 12 years old. You know, you messed up, all right? And you better skedaddle. So that's what happened. So the oldest one to the youngest one, they slipped out, all right? So let's read on. Jesus stood up again and said, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And then Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Now, the word condemn means to put a sentence on top of someone. Has anybody ever been sentenced? You were condemned and they put a sentence on top of you? Uh-huh. Okay, so the word condemn is to put a sentence on her. And Jesus should have said, lady, you blew it. You got caught. You are going to get stoned because you broke the law. Because he should have put a sentence on her, right? Should have put a sentence on her. You're going to get stoned. By the way, stoning is not pebbles. It's not little BBs. Stonings are big rocks. And you read about, was it Philip? You get stoned, you're dead. All right? So, yeah, Stephen, thank you. Stephen, that's right. So he should have said, you know, put a sentence on her, right? According to the law, he should have put a sentence on her. You're stoned. You're death, right? Okay, but listen, this is what Jesus did. He looks at her with those eyes of love. And 100% grace comes out on top of her. And he said, you're forgiven. I'm not going to stone you. 100% full of grace shows up, right? 100% full of grace shows up, all right? Now, why? Because he was 100% grace, full of grace. That's why he could do that. Jesus didn't come and condemn. He didn't come to condemn the world, right? He came to give grace, mercy, truth. Amen. Alrighty, now, he slips one more thing in. What does he say at the end? Neither do I. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. All right? Now, how many of you would like to serve a God who says, I'm not stoning you, just don't go sin no more? How many of you would like to serve him? Because you are probably going to die that day. Burn, baby, burn, right? Stone, baby, stone. And he said, I'm not condemning you. Just don't go do that again. How many of you would serve a God like that? Oh, yeah, I am serving a God like that, all right? Praise God, praise God. So this lady is forgiven, and she's going, man, I can do that. I can do that. I'll do that because I'm forgiven. I'm alive. I'm not stoned. Praise God. Praise God. Alrighty. So instead of condemning and picking out our stones out of our pocket, Jesus forgives, full of grace, full of truth. Amen. Alrighty. Now, let me read you a quote. They're going to pop it on the screen here. This is I stole this from Andy Stanley. He is great. I really enjoy him. You're all great. I really enjoy you too, okay? Not supposed to have favorite. God's not a respecter. But this is what he wrote. It will be up on the screen. You ready? God's expression of grace are innumerable, but his requirements are minimal. God's expression of grace are big, countless. His requirements, pretty minimal. What was his requirement to that lady? Just don't do it again. Yeah, that's kind of minimal, right? But his grace, that's what God's grace does. It's this big. Amen? All right. Now, he didn't say, you do that 5 more times, Eli, and you are stoned. He didn't do that. He just, big grace, little minimal thing. Amen? All right. That's the kind of God we're serving today. And he is not looking to put a sentence on you. He is not looking to throw a stone and drag you in. That's not the God we serve. We have a God that is so big with grace. His grace is so full that it's just for you. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't matter what you did. Praise God. There's great grace. All right, let me write one more quote up there. This is where I really want to wrap up here. Here we go. The church. Oh, yeah, good. The church has been assigned the task of exposing our neighborhoods, our communities, cities, states, and the world to the grace of God. You know, the Great Commission? That's what it is. The church. Raise your hand if you're the church. This is the task that's been given to us to show great grace in your house. Some of you are living in war zones, okay? You maybe have a spouse that's not walking with the Lord, doesn't know the Lord. This is our task, to show them great grace in our neighborhoods, in our communities, all right? Like a couple years back, silly kids turned on the hose, shoved it in our pipe over there, flooded the downstairs. And you know, I had to remember, I am here to show great grace. So we don't ever leave a handle on that spigot anymore. That's right. Don't have a problem with that. All right. Listen, your neighborhood, your community, your city, your state, the world, we are the ones to show great grace. All right? We are the ones to show great grace. Whose responsibility is to show great grace? We are. There's not a plan B left over, guys. There's no more plan Bs. The day Jesus touched down, went back to heaven, he said, this is our job. Now, we don't like the word job, so I'm going to say task. You know, doesn't that sound? This is your task. It means your job. This is the Great Commission. No other plan. No other plan. We're it. We are the plan. And if we're not showing the world great grace, well, we're doing a bunch of things wrong. All right? We are the ones that. Now, listen, some days, go hide yourself in the closet, Pastor D. Don't come out until you get it together. And then say, bless the little children that love to just do that in my building, all right? I have to remember, he was full of grace for me. I am full of grace, so I will grace. All right? Now, hallelujah. By the way, you know, preaching condemnation, There's probably, oh, I'd love to do a statistic on this. How many people get saved, change their life when you preach condemnation? You're a sinner. You did this wrong. You did that wrong. You're going to burn. You're going to burn. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Okay. How many people raise their hand to get saved out of fear? Okay. But listen, the love of God has been poured out. It was the love of God that drew me. It was the love of God, the grace of God that draws people. So we go from grace to grace to blessing, and not only on us, but we heap it on people. We heap it on people, right? Praise God. Everybody say grace. 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 I love grace. All righty. Now, His grace empowers you to give grace. His grace will empower you to give grace. Oh, I just can't do it anymore. You ask for His grace. He will empower you that you can do that for people. Right? Amen. All right. Now, one more story. Here we go. In the book of Acts. No, I'm going to wrap it up this way. In the book of Acts. So I had fun reading through the book of Acts this last 2 weeks. And I just jotted down examples of grace in the book of Acts. And I'm only going to give you four real quick ones. Examples of the people moving in great grace. All right. By the way, that book's for us too. All right. So number one. Examples, because we have great grace in our life. They had great grace in their life and they did some things. You have great grace in your life. And guess what? You need to pour out this grace and do some things. All right. Number one, I'm going to read number one. I can't remember number one. I can remember number two. Here we go. I was like, number one, they shared their faith with others. It just baffles me. After Joe over here, I love that Joe so good, gets saved. She never tells anybody about Jesus. What? That's just amazing. Great grace came, forgave you, washed you, crowned you with loving kindness, made righteousness to you and all that good stuff. And you don't share it with people? Pastor D, all right. Pastor D, are you kidding me? The Christmas party, they all get drunk. I just can't stand going. Well, first off, you need to go. Second of all, you're not going to go get drunk. Third, there's great grace in your life to live and tell people. Great story. I remember Jim and Martha going to, this is like 25 years ago. He worked for a roofing company and they had a Christmas party and he was like, man, they all got plastered. And then they started dancing and Martha's dancing with the head of the company. I don't know what kind of dance they do. Okay, let's just do that one. And she starts telling him about Jesus instead of, well, you know, they're all drunk. So you leave when they really get totally plastered. Okay, go to one of my family functions, the Gagans in upstate New York. I last about 2 hours and then they don't have ears to hear. But listen, I always go knowing I am a vessel that carries great grace and they are the ones that I'm going to pour upon. All right. So number one, the book of Acts, the believers of the early church, they shared their faith. And guess what? They were filled with grace. How many of you are filled with grace? So we're going to share our faith, all right? Let's see. Number two, they helped others around them. Because of great grace, they were able to help others. Now, there's nothing worse than you're doing it in your own strength, okay? But because of great grace on their life, they were able to help others, right? All right, now it's kind of crazy, and I'm not saying we're going to do it like everybody tomorrow show up with all your bank accounts and let's just pull them all together. All right. And then we'll all have, I'll divvy it up. That's commune living, right? Okay. But they had the grace to do that. Okay. Wow. How am I going to talk out of that one? Okay. So they brought all their money together and everybody was supplied. Everybody was supplied. Everybody was supplied. Nobody has lack. You know, that car that just blew up and you don't have enough money. Everybody was supplied. Right. Okay. Now, wouldn't that be cool in our church? Whoa, everybody come on in tomorrow. Monday, the office is open. Okay, I'm going to take care of this, all right? But listen, God will help you because of His grace to help others. God will help you to help others, okay? So what if somebody, I've been waiting to do this one. Lock the back door, Scott. Don't let anybody out. So what if Brenton comes in church today And he's the guy that always has a big smile, talks to everybody, likes coffee. Do you drink a black or a cream on it? Creamer, that's right. Okay, that's right. Somebody else drinks it black. I'm trying to remember. Oh, you drink it black, right? Okay. So he comes in, and he's just hoping somebody would talk to him because he's got a need, all right? But he's smiling. He's just going to fake it, and you know, because that's Brenton. He's always just got this good thing. Only thing, I'm getting to know him. I'll text Susan. What's going on with Brenton? That's how we have a relationship. I call Susan now, all right? So, but the Holy Spirit moves upon Sam. He says, you need to go talk to your brother and the Lord over there. And you go up to him, you get him his face, you pin him in the corner, and you say, hey, Brenton, what's going on? And Brenton breaks down crying. Okay, but listen, Sam is going to minister to him because of the great grace in his life. Now, on October 3rd, that's a Saturday, at 7:45, Joe, we have men's prayer, right? Men's prayer. You cooking? They have food. They have food. They pray for about an hour, give or take. They fellowship. They really are a crazy bunch here. Okay, but right afterwards, great grace is going to move through this place. Men of God are going to come and help Brenton, because Brenton inherited it. The maintenance department, all right? And he needs help. But wait a minute. You have great grace in your life, don't you? You are going to tap into the grace of God and come here by 9 o'clock, and we're going to bring chainsaws and loppers and trucks, and we are going to make this place look pretty because it's pretty bad right now. And Brenton can't do it anymore. Matter of fact, his grace for doing this ran out at the beginning of the summer. We can talk about that. So how many of you guys are going to be here because you have great grace in your life? You're going to check your schedule. Stand up right now. Write their names down. Stand there, Mark over here. Mark and Mark. Write their names down. Okay, Joe. Then who can be here? All right. Tom. Tom said he's going to be here. All right. Bring your son, Sam. All right. And I am believing for great grace to move through you because Brent needs some help. How's that for slipping that one in? I've been waiting. Okay. All right. So I don't even know what number I'm on. Was that number two? That was what? Two. Okay. Number three. They realized it was not about them. It was about Jesus. They realized it wasn't about them. Because if it's about you and not about Jesus, you have a consumer mentality. I've said this before. And my job is to break you of your consumer mentality. You know what a consumer mentality is? I'm coming to church, and Pastor D, you get to feed me, feed me, feed me. I just need to sit up here, Pastor D, because, you know, I need to be fed. You big fat Christian. All right? All right, that's a consumer. How about we come because of great grace in our life and we want to help Brenton? All right, how about we do that? All right, and break that. Listen, I'm telling you, the early church didn't even have consumer mentality, right? They all got together and they pooled all their funds. They didn't even have to get broken of that. They were full of grace. And they were going, okay, all right, okay, number four, last one. They had genuine community revolving around the grace of God. They had genuine community revolving around the grace of God. Okay, I want to talk about groups. I want to talk about groups. Now, groups, grow groups, cell groups, home groups, small groups, life groups, connect groups, whatever you want to call. We have groups around here. Now, if you look at the book of Acts, they didn't do a lot of this. They did this, but they did groups, all right? The book of Acts did groups. Now, they did gather together, and I believe in church. I believe there's a gathering together. There, it says, forsake not the gathering together. Okay, there's benefits. Oh, first off, you all sound so good. So there's a really good benefit, because if you just come to my group, it's going to sound bad. So there's benefits of all coming together, all right? There is a benefit. I believe in church. But you can't get all just coming on Sunday. And some of you come only once a month because of your schedule. So you got like a teaspoon going on in your life, right? Teaspoon of stuff. So Andy Stanley, you can tell I just read a book by him. And actually, everybody's plagiarized him. So this is where I saw somebody else. Write this down. He says, we like rows, but circles are better. We like the rows. Oh, I love it. I love ladies. Okay, you guys did it perfectly. I'm going to put my purse here and my Bible here so no one can get to me on the row. Yeah, I don't want my purse dirty, you know, whatever. Okay, we like rows, but what's better? Circles or small groups? The foundation of this church is small groups. All right, I would not be who I am had it not been small groups. After Pastor Jack went home to be the Lord, I went to a small group with my other friend's church because I just needed to be away from you. No, I just needed people not to look at me as pastor. And I went to a small group and I got to raise my hand. I got to ask questions. I got to make friends. All right, small groups. Who has, okay, don't raise your hand. Who has never been to a small group? Who has? Raise your hand if you've ever been a part of a small group. Whoa, we are a cool church, okay? Now, so we like rows. Some of you think this is going to be great because I sit in the rows. I am really glad you guys came and took care of this whole row. This is really nice. But you're probably going to walk out and you go, oh, hey, Randy, how you doing? Have a great week. Let's see. Oh, hey, Joyce, kiss, kiss. Love you. I'm praying for you. That's what happens in rows. It's real easy to do that. Okay, it's real easy to do that. You just kind of slip in and slip out. But in a small group, whoa, you grow. That's why we call ours, we changed our name, grow groups. You grow. How do you grow? Two ways. You grow in a relationship. I love my small group. Diana was in my small group. I have to call Deb. She's not here today. Okay, so my small group's not here. I have a bunch of ladies. We did invite it for men. It's a singles group, but only ladies show up. I don't know. I think I'm pretty amazing. I can't figure out why men don't show up. But anyway, so we have, and we meet at Chick-fil-A. Because someone didn't want to drive over here. And, you know, listen, they clean the tables. Harrison's friends, what's his name? Reed. Reed says, hey, Pastor D, every time I see him. But he's not working there, so I don't think, because it... Anyway, Reed's so cute. So we go, we grab something to eat. Sometimes I ate a whole bag of popcorn before I got here to there. And so I just got something to drink because I wasn't hungry because Gerald leaves all this popcorn around here and I have self-control here. All right. But we're doing a little mini book called God's Medicine. And we're there for an hour, sometimes an hour and a half. One time we were there 2 hours. We were just having a great old time. And we fellowship. We have some food. And I have made friends with these ladies. It's been totally enjoyable. Matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, one of the girls in the group says, hey, Pastor D, what are you doing Sunday night? I said, nothing. She says, you want to go kayaking? I have a friend. She invited me to go kayaking. All right? So you will grow in relationships. And some of you, you're not meant to do life alone. You are not meant to do life alone. There used to be a guy that came here, and he'd sit in the last row of the last seat over there in the corner. I go, so-and-so, you're weird, and you need people in your life. And then I said, and you also carry this great treasure, and you need to give it to this person. Rows are good. Circles are better. I used to go over to Bob and Dolores, Mark and Carol, Dave and Diane. Who else was over there? It was a super time for me. I had a pound in the beginning. I'm not Pastor D when I come in there. I'm not Pastor D. My name is D. And I got to ask dumb questions. This is great. All right? And I grew in friendships. And the greatest part is you grow in the Word. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to have an hour and a half Bible thumping time. Okay? We'll break out the Word. Where's Joanne's group? Anita's in that one. Kathy goes that one. Okay. There's a bunch of them. And they're doing a book and a Bible thing. All right? But benefits. Let me talk about benefits. Benefits. When somebody is in the hospital. Who was just in? Carol. That's it. I was thinking Carol was just in the hospital. Their group got and they delivered food. And then another group found out and there was cards and text messages and phone calls and stuff like that. But if you just stay in a row, I bet you didn't know about it. You're in a row up here, right? You didn't know about it. Well, okay, but the group did. The group did. All right. Now, hopefully I'm not condemning you or shaming you. Hopefully I'm inspiring you, okay? I'm inspiring you that groups are good. And, that, you know, the best part is you are a treasure, and somebody's waiting for that connection treasure. Go kayaking, right? All righty. Now, how do I finish? Oh, my gosh. Ah! All righty. Sunday. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody was talking to me, Pastor D, I've never done one of these. I don't even know I don't know the Bible that well. Fine. No big deal. I need you to open up your house, serve coffee, water. You can throw pretzels in there. All right. Serve a snack. You can put a CD on, a teaching CD, DVD, a book. All right. Just host. And great grace is in you. It'll make things happen. It'll make things happen. Praise God. The other benefit is you just need to invite relatives. You know, the fringe people. Invite some fringe people in there. And then they get into this and they get encounters with your great grace, which is the grace of the Lord. Amen. All right. I am praise the Lord. Don't everybody look this way. Don't look at your clocks. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. I really want to inspire. I'd like to have, I think we've got about 5 or 6 grow groups going. Mark. Oh, thank you. See, I remembered. Mark is starting a guys group this Wednesday up at Mark's house. Mark Fry, 6:30. All right. So if you want, you've got time, commit. Now we're doing some of them seasonal. So we started in September. Mark's still in September. Yeah. September to Thanksgiving. And then we stop because I don't know about you. December is bananas. All right. I got 3 birthdays and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So it's a seasonal thing. Just start, come for a little while, and then we restart after the snow. Yeah, whatever. I know. We tried doing February. I was like, maybe we start March. All right. So these are seasonal. If you'd want to start one, start one. All right. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this people. Father, I thank you that your word is giving them light and direction to the plans and purposes and the great grace you have for them. Father, they are the light to touch others and pour forth this grace. And I thank you, Father, for them. And they are the blessings wherever they go today and this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't even look at that clock. You guys are fun. I'm spitting up here. I love you so much. Have a great week. Talk to me if you want to start a grow group.